Together we will stand. Fight and we'll fall. Come on now, people.
Good morning and welcome to Neighbors on KUMD. As we navigate these challenging times together, we're bringing some folks on to talk about life in the time of coronavirus, things that are going well, and maybe things that we're still a little bit concerned about. This is maybe not ideal, but it's got the potential still to be super cool. Zane Bale joins us this morning. She's the committee chair of the Duluth Dylan Fest Committee. Hey, Zane, good morning, and thanks so much for agreeing to join us this morning. It's great to have you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on the show.
So
I'm a big KUMD fan.
That's what we like. So back in March, the difficult decision had to be made to cancel Dylan Fest. Can you talk? It's been interesting. We'd like to know a little bit about what kind of what goes on behind the scenes. Why do you need so much lead time? It turns out that there's a lot more lead time to these things than we ever thought. And how and why was the decision made to say, we just don't dare risk it for May?
Yeah, well, life's kind of been a blur between my actual job at the Northland Foundation and my volunteer work with the Duluth Dylan Fest and the Army Arts and Music Center and Sacred Heart. But the Duluth Dylan Fest Committee, we meet probably twice a month all year round. And it's a group of real dedicated volunteers. And on May 16th, when I had to begin working remotely and a lot of things were happening for others, we just started like feeling that people come from all over the world. I mean, we have a person that comes from France every year, Australia, you know, Ireland. Sometimes we don't even know until we're just standing around and say, where's everybody from? But so folks are coming from all over the world. And also it felt really uncomfortable to our committee to be advertising and doing all the promotional efforts that you need to do for a festival like this in the midst of a global pandemic. It was a hard decision, but we came to the decision that we needed to cancel the fest. And then we were able to regroup and say, you know, we can pull off some virtual stuff. So,
so it was just that idea that perhaps, you know, you'd be running a spot in the evening news and coronavirus. Hey, everybody, come to the Bob Dylan Fest. It just that cognitive dissonance there was just enough to go, nah, I don't think so.
Yeah. And, you know, we were watching other organizations and what they were doing, and also, you know, following what Governor Walz was sharing about, you know, convening groups of people of, you know, how many people could actually be together and really looking at the guidance from the CDC and just decided, okay, we got to let this go. And honestly, I think it wasn't, but the next week or so, Grandma's Marathon, which I run that half marathon every year. And I'm just like, wow. So Grandma's did it. You know, the Big Top Chautauqua canceled their whole season. I mean, we're watching what other folks are doing too and feel that, you know, we did make the right decision, as hard as it was.
I'm hoping, I don't know, I had a mental image this morning. I had this mental image of Double Stuff Oreos. And I am hoping that all of the stuff that we can't do this year, that when we get it next year, she said optimistically, that it will be like twice as amazing because there will have been this extra time, and let's hope maybe a little bit of extra money to just make it super, super, super fabulous. But it's just really disappointing to have to have no Oreo right now.
It absolutely. And, you know, the good news is everybody that was planning to be part of the fest this year is planning for next year. So a lot of our planning, you know, or our schedule for next year is underway. But we also know the world has changed, and that moving forward, I think that having some virtual events or people events that people can participate in if they're not here is going to continue to be something we're going to strive for as a committee.
You know, I was reading something interesting about that this morning, and I was going to actually ask you a little bit about that. I was reading an article, and granted, the artists that they were talking about in these article are huge big names, Chris Martin, John Legend, Bono, and they're talking about how they're being such, you know, they're being great guys. They're, you know, doing these virtual concerts. They're trying to raise money for various causes. They're doing a lot of freebies. These are obviously people that are in a completely different category financially than the local and regional musicians that are really struggling in this time. But there's, you know, a lot of these conversations about going forward, how is music going to look? As you were making these plans and talking, in particular, I guess I'm interested in a lot of the musicians that you were talking to.
Yeah.
What were you hearing from them? And what are some things that you're kind of batting around moving forward?
Well, you know, for the Dylan Fest, our goal has always been to lift up local, regional, national musicians, poets, artists, and provide a forum from them. And we've also done our best, you know, we're a small grassroots committee and we raise money mainly from individuals, and we do have some business and corporate and in-kind sponsors, but we're always trying to give a little more. Like, so if someone was had a gig during Dylan Fest at Sir Ben's, Sir Ben's is a great local partner, one of the many great music venues in our area. And they will pay and compensate the musician, but Dylan Fest always gives a little extra. And so we're pleased that with some of the sponsors we received this year that said, you know, please, you know, keep the funding and go forth and do good work, we're able to give compensation to the folks that are doing virtual performances this year. So, you know, helping musicians out, you know, many of them also have their virtual tip jars, and hopefully that's helping them too. So when they do live stream, you know, folks can, you know, throw a couple bucks their way.
Do you have the sense that younger people are so much more comfortable with this? I think about the way, I guess, my college-age daughter navigates all things online and paying for things online. I mean, I can certainly do it, but I have to stop and I have to think about it. Do you think that as generations just become so used to this, that the idea of, oh, of course I'll have, you know, my card or my fingerprint handy so that I can go ahead and I can pay the musician. Is this going to become something
that?
I
think so too, but I think, you know, I'm a Generation Xer, but I kind of navigate towards the baby boom generation because just, you know, I was born in the mid 60s. And so I think it's also an opportunity for all of us folks to learn new tricks. And, you know, how do you watch a live stream on Facebook? I mean, it's kind of tricky because you have to get on the person's page and you have to scroll down and see where it's live. But, you know, it's giving us all a chance to kind of learn new things. But I do think things have changed. And I think, you know, live streaming and figuring out how to, you know, do things differently is going to be part of our whatever our new normal is going to be. But I'm looking forward to being back with a group of people. And, you know, the Blood on the Tracks Express train ride, I mean, that it goes up the short North Shore and back with the rolling music review. So missing that this year, the concerts we do at Sacred Heart, the stuff we do at the, whether it's at Carmody's or Sir Ben's or Cedar Lounge or wherever we are in downtown Duluth, it's just like I'm really missing that.
Now, it seems to me that if you've got folks coming in from all over the world, that many more folks who can't afford the plane ticket would love to be able to take part from all over the world and enjoy the virtual aspect of it and the online access to it. You kind of alluded to this before. Is this something that you hope to carry forward?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, to figure out a way, you know, for people to make a donation or you know, so that we can, you know, bolster our support to, you know, the local musicians. And as far as our Dylan Fest committee goes, we just try to cover our expenses. We have a nonprofit fiscal agent. We don't make any money. We all do this because we love the music of Bob Dylan. We're thrilled that he was born here in Duluth. And so, absolutely. I think that that's something we're going to move forward to. But, you know, I'm really hopeful and optimistic and looking for that double stuffed Oreo for next year because it's Bob Dylan's 80th birthday. And those 5-year or those milestone birthdays just tend to really be big deals. And the Bob Dylan Center in Tulsa is going to be opening. And we've had a stream of people that are traveling down to Tulsa to see the Bob Dylan Center and see the Woody Guthrie Archive passing through Duluth. And as a result, you know, we've had authors from throughout the country speak, and we do a memorial lecture every year in honor of John Bushy, who was the founder and host of Highway 61 Revisited on KUMD for 20 years. And you know, we miss John every day, but this time of year we really miss him, and we're just so thrilled to have this John Bushy lecture, which we weren't able to do this year, but we're looking forward to next year and having some great Dylanologists, so to speak, present those lectures in honor of John Bushy.
You know, I mentioned this article a few moments ago where they were talking about how these huge, huge names are doing a lot of freebies and they're doing a lot of benefits and that kind of thing. Has anybody reached out to the man himself and said, you want to come to the event? You can just stay in your living room. You don't even have to go.
No, we haven't done that, but we know he's aware. But we have been in touch with Scarlett Rivera, who has a new I don't know if you still refer to it, an album out. And she was on the Rolling Thunder Review with Bob Dylan and has been to Duluth several times, thanks to the Armory Arts and Music Center. And so we're hopeful to get Scarlett back next year. But, yeah, you know, I mean, live streaming from your home really can open up possibilities.
Apparently, Bob has been doing a lot of, you know, releasing some new music and doing that sort of thing. But I just thought, you know, I mean, when in doubt, use leverage and or blackmail and or, you know, make the puppy dog eyes. I don't have a problem being kind of underhanded about it. I truly don't. So let's talk about some of the virtual fest events that our folks can look forward to kind of as we move into the middle of next week or the end of the weekend.
We kicked off on Sunday. Well, on Saturday, of course, it's Highway 61 Revisited. So that was the official launch of Dylan Fest. And Chris Harwood did a nice job just kind of, you know, recognizing it was Fest Week. And then we had a band, Cowboy Angel Blue, on Sunday out of Brit. And then on Wednesday, Mark Gartman is going to be live streaming off his Instagram page, doing some basement tapes, music from the basement tapes. And then on Saturday, we're very excited to have the Bob Dylan Review concert that was filmed at the Sacred Heart Music Center last year. It's going to be available on YouTube, and it's a 25-song set from some fabulous local regional musicians. And then on Sunday, we have three live stream events. The first one at noon, all the way from Rome, Italy, a gentleman named Al Dyson, who is a Dylan sound alike, and he was going to be in Duluth for Dylan Fest, and he decided to do a live stream from his home at, I think at 4 p.m. We have Danny Fox out of the Chicago area, who won one of the singer-songwriter contests up in Hibbing during the Hibbing Dylan days, and we were just blown away. We've had him to Duluth. He was a good friend of John Bushy's. He's going to be live streaming. And then Gene LaFond and Amy Grillo out of their home in Silver Bay are going to be live streaming from 7:30 to 9. And Gene has a lot of personal connections with Bob Dylan. He was part of the Rolling Thunder Review, and he and Amy are a duo, a songwriting duo, and they do some great Dylan tunes. So we're excited, and I hope folks can tune in. If you want to find the schedule, you can go on bobdylanway.com or visit our Facebook page, Duluth Dylan Fest.
And we'll get some links set up so it'll be easy for folks to find that information. I really am excited to think about some of the ways that we're kind of being forced to adopt this new technology. And, you know, sometimes there are a lot of people that once they learn a new skill or a new tech, they just can't wait to start playing with it and coming up with new and innovative ways to use it. And I was just thinking about, you know, folks that perhaps can't get out to a concert for whatever reason. And how wonderful this opportunity for them is. And this is something that they might want to take advantage of on an ongoing basis.
I hope so. And I think just a lot of venues are going to look to diversify their audience through live streaming and through, you know, in-person shows, especially if the in-person shows can't quite be as big as, you know, you once had hoped.
Zane, I'm curious, what's your sense of, there are a lot of conversations going on now, and there will, I'm no doubt, continue to be a lot of conversations going on about a live virtual concert versus you know, a live concert where you're there in person. And I think that some of these conversations are actually taking places with regard to church services, too, because many people feel like, no, we got really kind of got to be there in person. The virtual thing, something is missing. What's your sense of the differences, and are they surmountable once we would get used to them, or what's your take on it?
Well, you know, as a people person, I hope that the in-person gatherings can come back. But I do think for folks with, like, compromised immune systems, for maybe, you know, difficulty with transportation, you know, if they can participate. But one of the big issues for me is, and because I work for an organization that serves, you know, rural areas in northeastern Minnesota, and we have a lot of them, you know, it's the broadband access. It's the access to the devices, it's the knowledge of how to do that. And so I'm hoping that our communities can continue to foster, you know, connections and reducing social isolation by really figuring out how can we help people navigate this, you know, being able to participate in social interactions. And even if that's like being able to pick up your telephone or listen to something on a radio, because most people have access to a radio. So that's why I'm hopeful, you know, community radio, public radio, it's such an important resource to our communities, and want that to be able to continue. And how can community and public radio, you know, and television help support this cause?
You know, I'm curious about this topic also because it's one that we have followed. But unfortunately, the people who are primarily affected, lower income people, rural people, tribal people on reservations, there hasn't been a lot of political will to step forward and address this broadband issue. Do you see the possibility that some maybe powerful allies can kind of put a little bit of pressure, some impetus maybe, and actually get moving on some of these access issues?
Yeah. I'm not an expert in this area, but I do know the Blandin Foundation, and there has been a lot of work, you know, through state and federal funding to really improve broadband access in Minnesota. And so I'm just grateful that all that work that's already, I mean, it's not perfect, and there's still work to be done, but, you know, we're in pretty good shape, or getting in better shape than we were, you know, five years ago even. So
sometimes I wonder also, when you were talking about you know, people being connected and the broadband issue, the other thing I guess I was wondering about is, should we be as concerned about people whose lives are turned upside down by our weird current circumstance, or should we be paying more attention to people who have been living like this all along?
Well, I think it's and both, you know. I think that, you know, I just know for myself, you know, some of the anxiety I've felt, you know, over the past couple months, you know, working from home and not being with my office mates and such. So, I think continue to be to check on your neighbors and your family, you know, near and far. And I think about John Prine and his song, and I'm so sad he's no longer with us. But, you know, hello, hello in there.
Zane, thank you so very, very much for joining us this morning. As Zane mentioned, there's this whole wonderful list of events that are coming up. We'll get a link set up on our website, and it'll be easy for folks to find the information so that they won't have to miss a moment of Dylan Fest. Zane Bale, thanks again so much for joining us this morning.
Have a great day. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Zane Bale is the committee chair of the Duluth Dylan Fest Committee, and she joined us this morning as our guest on Neighbors here on KUMD.